Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
Yes, it is time to learn. A big old shout out to the University of Auckland, the home of BFM. It's where we broadcast from every single day, 365 days of the year, 7 days a week. And a big warm welcome to Jared McTaggart.
McTaggart.
Representing, in here representing, what department would you say?
The School of Biological Sciences.
Biological Sciences. You're doing a Master's in Science in Biosecurity and Conservation.
That's the one, yeah.
In particular, you have a focus on bats and insects.
Yes.
And is it echolocation that bats use to find insects as food?
Yeah. So basically bats are flying during the night, mm-hmm. And so they're not really able to use their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, they've evolved to scream out, and that sound bounces off stuff, comes back to them, and it helps them see. It's kind of like sonar.
Like sonar. Yeah. So it's been millions of years that this has been going on for. The bats have been hunting the insects with sonar. In your research, you mentioned that insects have developed ways to evade moths.
Yeah. So kind of what I'm looking at specifically is moths and bats and mm-hmm. that co-evolutionary relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
And so moths are a key food source for bats, and so they kind of get preyed on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of pressure on them to evolve strategies to avoid getting eaten.
What sort of ways have moths evolved to avoid being eaten by bats?
Well, there's a few key ways. So first you've got your physiological,
mm-hmm.
so that's your physical like adaptations. So some moths are able to hear, so they've developed ears, which is somewhat rare in the insect kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Not all moths, but some. Now, it was first thought that they did this as a form of like communication within moths themselves. So it evolved before bats were even in the picture,
mm-hmm.
but it has been co-opted into a sort of mechanism to hear bats coming.
Mm-hmm.
They also have some scales that work to sort of dampen some of that sound and sort of absorbs it. So where it would normally bounce off a moth and the bat would hear that,
mm-hmm.
it absorbs it, like the sort of soundproofing in this room.
Yes, yes.
And sort of they avoid being detected because they can't hear them, or like they can't hear the sound bouncing back
yes.
off of them.
Yeah. And you've also, there was mention of some of the moths have evolved to send back a signal saying that they actually don't taste good.
Yeah. So that's kind of part of their behavioural adaptations.
Yes.
So they can produce ultrasound, some of them. And there's a few reasons why, there's a few hypotheses why they do so. One of them is that signalling. So it's called aposematic signalling, which functionally is them saying, hey, I don't taste good.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people did some studies and found that moths that produce ultrasound in frequencies that differ to bats,
mm-hmm.
They tend to not taste good. So they did studies and checked, oh, do the bats like eating them? And they found that no, they don't. They taste bad. So they're signaling that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other hypothesis is jamming, which is the moth is producing ultrasound in the same frequency the bat's using. So it gets all confused and sort of jams their radar, in a sense.
Yes. Wow, that's so crazy to learn about what both are doing.
Mm.
Now, plant and food research have proposed a couple of solutions to protect local crops from moths, because moths do like to chow down on some crops. Can you talk us through this and how might this ultrasonic emitter that they're planning to use in agriculture affect native bats?
Yeah, so PFR is looking at using an ultrasound emitter to keep moths out of agricultural systems.
Mm-hmm.
Those moths that can hear
mm-hmm.
have sort of evolved to stay away from ultrasound because mm-hmm. generally it means there's a bat around. So they will fly away from wherever these sounds are being emitted.
Mm-hmm.
My master's is looking at, okay, if we're using this technology in our sort of agricultural systems, will it have a negative impact on bat behavior? Because it is pretending to be a bat. So what's happening to the bats? Are they coming in to look? Are they running away? And then what's the implications of that on our native bats? Because they are sort of a Tonga species. They're already very vulnerable. These populations are not doing super well. So it's just making sure that there are no negative impacts using this tech.
What's the distribution of bats like throughout Aotearoa? Are there certain parts of the country that this technology might be okay to use because there's not really any bats in the area, or are there bats everywhere?
Well, that's kind of a key part of sort of my first part of research. It's a weird one. So there aren't very many, but they're pretty widely distributed. There's only a few places around the country that we can say there aren't many bats, and even then it's mostly us not just having records. Though the key place that sort of I'm like pretty sure there's not that many bats, if any, is the east coast of the South Island. And I'd say that's probably the land use that affects the distribution
there. I mean, so what are the potential risks, or what are the potential risks of could ultrasonic emitters pose to vulnerable bat populations? And I mean, with your research so far, have you managed to like figure out any ways that we might be able to mitigate these risks in agricultural practices?
Ooh, tough one. So we don't really know what the bats are going to do. Ideally, it doesn't affect them, because then this can be used. It'll reduce our reliance on pesticides. If we can say, oh, we play sounds and keeps moths out, we don't have to spray for them. However, if they are drawn in or pushed out, that's where sort of we may have some issues. Bats, that is. I'd say drawing them in is probably the biggest issue in my head, because it's stopping them from hunting, and also increases their risk of predation. So sort of Mōpōko Ruru, they will sometimes hunt bats. And so if there's sort of one area, there's a bunch of bats, it's sort of easy pickings for Mōpōko there. So...
Excellent. And do you have any predictions for your area of research, or where you might be headed, or sort of any outcomes? Are you getting to the point where you might be able to make some powerful conclusions yet?
Not quite yet. I've just started. I've sort of started on the mapping of bats with some doc data that I was able to get. And then this coming this summer, I'm going to be in the field looking at, okay, what are we seeing when we're playing these sounds?
So whereabouts are you going for the field research?
I'll be down in Puriora, which is just up from Taupō.
Oh, nice one.
So it's a nice ecological area, lots of native forest, and both species of our native bat, which is awesome and very rare, funnily enough.
What sort of crops are growing in that area that you're going to be looking at?
It really depends on what sites are available to us. Ideally, we'll be looking at like your maize and corn. That's kind of the key crop that I think Planet Food's looking at for this. However, other crops kind of include your brassicas, so that's your cabbages and your broccolis and that. And so you can apply this to most crops because there will be a moth that eats them somewhere.
Excellent. Oh, fascinating. Really fascinating. Jared, thank you so much for coming in. If people want to keep an eye, will your research be published anywhere in particular, or can people just... check out your writing?
My research itself is through Planet Food Research, so you can keep an eye there. It's part of a smart idea. However, my other work, I'm part of the team at UOA Scientific, which is a student-run magazine that publishes science articles. So that's how I'm here today. I wrote an article about bats and moths, and I get to talk on the radio.
Excellent.
So through there, I'll be writing for them. And we have also a bunch of other writers sort of within the Faculty of Science.
Awesome. Hey, Jared, thank you so much for making the trek in this morning. And a big old shout out to the University of Auckland.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.